In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." When we think of the holiness of God, we must first try to get a view of our God. You know, names are important. In days gone by, names were chosen, I guess, as descriptors of individuals and their character. Many times, a child was not even named at birth, but in a process of time, maybe days and months would go by as a parent tried to determine the character of their child. Names were given not just because they sounded good, but because they meant something and identified them in their character, sometimes the trade that their parents had, and they passed a name down from one to another. People speak of living up to their name. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what your name means? I know my name is Michael Wayne Sullivan, and Michael means one who is like God. That doesn't mean that as you look at me this morning that I'm like God, but it is a name in which to live up to. Also, my middle name is Wayne. It means a burden bearer. It means one who carries a load. So Michael Wayne Sullivan is a name that I strive to live up to. How does one, though, describe our God? How does one who is so finite, so limited in their understanding, in their scope of education, how does one so limited hope to describe the infinite? Our God is infinite. He always has been and always will be. Someone has said, and I've not counted them, that there are literally hundreds of names for our God. Yet, He is one God. I have a book in my library that gives some 30 of the primary names of our God. They mention that He is God. Of course, we're talking about Elohim, the Creator God, the one mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. He is also, according to Exodus chapter 3, mentioned as Jehovah. And in your King James Bible, it would also list capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. Anytime you see that, it's really Jehovah, the great I am. Whatever you need, He is. He is Jehovah. He is Lord. He is God Almighty. He is Lord. That's uppercase L, lowercase O-R-D, or Adonai. He is ruler. He is Lord. He is provider. He is healer. He is banner. He is the sanctifier. He is righteousness. He is our shepherd. He's peace. He is there. He's most high. He's Lord of hosts. He's the smiter. He's the first and the last. He's the Holy One. He's jealous. It even says His name is jealous. He's the everlasting God. He's the rock. He's the strong one who sees. He's the branch. He's the comforter. He's the door. He's the Savior. He's the maker. He's faithful. He's lamb. He's morning star. He's wonderful counselor. Many cults and false belief systems have many gods, lowercase g, that they try to conjure up and identify to satisfy their longings and needs, yet we have one God and there is none else. In Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says these words. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Clark and Hudson wrote the words to the blessed song, "Blessed be the name." Many times when we have guest preachers come through here And we all meet together in this auditorium for the Sunday school hour, usually from the teenagers on up. There's a song that we usually sing. It's not always that we sing this song, and I don't know where in particular we just picked up this habit, this tradition. But this is usually the song that we sing during that Sunday school hour to kick it off before the guest preacher preaches during Sunday school. It says, "All praise to Him who reigns above. In majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Redeemer, Savior, Friend of man, once ruined by the fall, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease." And the chorus says, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." I believe that the Bible encourages us to consider, I believe, the spiritual benefits of a fuller understanding of that precious name. We are to give glory, number one, to His name. And I've got a lot of scripture that we're going to be going through this morning, because I really feel like when I was thinking about how do you begin this series, as we did last week, and just laying out for us the holiness of our God. And then I thought, what's wrong with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1? And then just centering our attention on His name, that wonderful name, and how we ought to know Him and know that name and give glory to His name. In Psalm chapter 29 and verse 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We've already seen that holiness not only is internal, but it's also external. In other words, it actually permeates through every area of our life. And as we begin going through the scriptures this year and looking at the holiness of our God, it ought to touch every fiber of our being, every avenue of our life. And notice where it says, the beauty of holiness. And that means that we ought to worship Him, give Him His due. And when we are living a pure and holy life, not only on the inside, but externally, that people may give God glory by our good works and the things that they see us do. That's an act of worship, to live a holy life before our God. We are to give glory to His name. Number two, we are to encourage others to exalt His name. In Psalm 34, verse 1, the Bible says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." I must be honest with you, when you look at these particular points and you think about the name of our God, you can't help but, if you've been a bit discouraged and down in the dumps, to begin to center your attention on our God. And it lifts your spirit up when you realize who our God is, and not only He is ours, but we are His. Number three, we see that we are to praise His name at all times. I think I read that passage of scripture here in Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised." In Psalm 63, verse 4, the scripture says, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Psalm 145, verse 1 says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever." His name, number four, brings joy. Psalm 33, verse 21. "For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Number five, His name is our defense. In Psalm chapter 20 and verse 6, the psalmist said, "Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." The name, His name, defeats our enemies. In Psalm 44, I'll turn there and read it. In verse 5, the Bible says these words, "Through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through Thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But Thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever." And there's that refrain that says, Selah. That means stop right there. That means think about this. That means meditate on this truth for a while. Amen. His name is our defense, and His name defeats our enemies. His name is our strong tower. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's our God. Number eight, His name is our help. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. When we are happy about our salvation, the Bible says we will praise His name. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day, shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted." Praise the Lord for His great salvation. Number 10, His name is above every name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." Amen. Jesus came to exalt the Father's name. In that great passage of Scripture known as the Lord's Prayer, not our Father which art in heaven, but the Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. Verse 6, the Bible says these words. Jesus is praying to His Father. He says, "I've manifested Thy name." That means, I have shown Your name, Father. He says, "I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word." Oh, in verses 11 and 12 it says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled." In verse 26, the Bible says these words, "And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." The Bible says here in Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 22, it talks about how that we are to put His name upon our children. It says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and following, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Oh, that name, that wonderful name. Let me encourage you at the start of this year to seek to enrich your daily time with God. We call it your devotional time, your walk with God time, that time that you try to carve out in the busyness of your day. I want you to begin to maybe view that time in a new light where you get to know who your God is. You get to worship Him, that name that's above every name. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, you're saying, holy is your name. You know, sometimes I'm afraid we go to that devotional walk just as a way to salve a conscience, to say I've read 3 chapters in the old and 1 chapter in the new, and say that I've done this and I can be guilt-free now if someone asks me if I've read my Bible today or how much time I've spent with God today. And we're forgetting that it's all about a relationship. It's all about getting to know who our God is. How do you describe a God so infinitely wonderful and gracious and kind? You can't hardly get through all the various aspects and adjectives that would describe our God. His name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Let me encourage you this year. You may have started and stopped last year. You may have gone for a week or two and then you stopped having that time with God. Maybe you look and you hear that others are having their time, but you went for a while and you just sort of spit and sputtered a little bit and you stopped having that daily time. What I want you to do, and I want to whet your appetite for, and giving out so many verses, and folks, they're just a smidgen of the verses of Scripture that talk about the great name of our God. He is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. That's all our God and so much more. And yet we have the opportunity to fellowship with Him, to hear from Him on a regular, daily, moment-by-moment basis. Let me encourage you to have a plan and follow it. Read with purpose. I was talking to someone recently and I just said, you know, you need to go into the Word of God with purpose. And if you have a purpose, you're going to find what you need for that particular time. God will see to it. He'll see as you go in and say, God, feed me today. God, what word do you have for me today? Oh, and you'll be reading the Word of God and you'll find that He'll give you exactly what you need. How many times have you gone to the Bible and some of the dear old saints of the Lord know what I'm talking about? How you'll be going through a particular circumstance and you'll say, oh God, I need something from you, and you can't explain it except God does it. You go to a passage of Scripture and you begin to read those words and they come alive to you because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And He begins to minister His grace to you and He begins to tell you exactly what the situation is and give you that insight. And if you need comfort, He's there to comfort you. If you need that kick in the pants, He'll give it to you. Whatever you need, He'll give it to you as you feast on His Word. Because He's chosen to magnify, get this, His Word above His name. That's always been a marvel to me when you look at all the names of our God and you begin to study who He is and you realize His Word is magnified. That means bigger than His name. And the reason for that is that's how we find out about our God. The knowledge of the holy comes by a proper fear of Him. And that means we've got to know Him. And that means we have to get into His Word. We have to feast on its pages. It's not boring. It's not just a drudgery that we endure. It's not just something we have to do. We get to do it. We're privileged to do it. My, how privileged we are in North America to have a Bible and have several Bibles. As I'm sitting at my desk and I look over on my shelf here, I've got 2 shelves filled with Bibles. Study Bibles. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I mean, just name after name, all these Bibles that you have. Praise the Lord. What privilege we have when there are literally millions, billions, without a single copy of God's Word in their language. What a privilege we have. Let me encourage you as you begin to get into the Word of God and you begin to search for what God has for you today. I'm not talking about saying, God, give me your will 10 years from now. I'd like to know what you want for my life before I die. You ought to be saying, God, what word do you have for me today? And you begin to go in and you begin to search those scriptures out on a daily basis. And it could be you'll go to a passage of scripture, you'll read one phrase of one verse, and boy, it will hit you like a ton of bricks, and God has given you exactly what you need. Or it may be that you'll read one chapter and two chapters and three chapters and four chapters, and then finally, boy, He'll give you just what you need. It's not always just a set program that you follow to hear from God. Let me encourage you to read with purpose and write down what God shows you. Because you're not going to tote a Bible at work, I doubt. I can do that. A lot of times I take my New Testament, as I did yesterday, and I just dropped it in my suit coat, and that way I've got a copy with me when I'm going. When I'm in my truck, I've got a copy of the Word of God there, and so on. And so sometimes in my line of work, I'm privileged to have a Bible, but when you're running a welder or you're driving a truck or whatever you're doing as far as your work is concerned, you can't always be toting a Bible and turning its pages. But boy, if you spend some time walking with your God in those early hours and He shows you that truth that you need for that day, and sometimes you may look at that truth and say, how will this apply to my life today? But then as you go throughout your day, a circumstance may present itself. An individual may cross your path. Or there may be some thought that comes your way. And that verse of Scripture, that thought that He gave you, that verse that you've been meditating on, that phrase that has captured your attention comes back to your mind. The Holy Spirit of God brings it to your mind and you'll be able to recall that, and it helps you keep your focus and keeps you from blowing your testimony or keeps you singularly focused on Him instead of having your thoughts running wild and this way or that way or giving in to that besetting sin because you've chosen to meditate on the Word of God. Write down what God shows you. Think about what you're doing during the day. Renew your mind. Let me ask you a question. In those quiet times, what's the things that usually come to your mind? What comes to your mind first? The songs that come to your mind right off the hop. What songs are they? Are they all praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme? Or is it some hillbilly song or some other worldly tune that comes to your mind because you've been feasting on that? You've been dwelling on that? I mean, what song comes to your mind? What's in your heart that comes flooding out? Because what's in a man comes out of a man. Somebody may say, oh, I didn't mean that. And, oh, that slipped. It slipped because it was right there on the tip of your tongue. It was right there to be said. The Bible talks about the renewing of your mind. And when you talk about renewing your mind, that means you're going to have to renew your mind on purpose. You're going to have to reprogram your mind on purpose. I always use the illustration of someone driving a standard vehicle and how when you first started learning how to drive, everything was such by deliberate action. Boy, it was put in the clutch, your foot in the clutch, and then slowly on the gas and releasing the clutch and giving yourself whiplash a few times and everybody else in the car with you and, boy, trying to get that thing smoothed out. And now you get in that vehicle and you're 2 miles down the road and you don't even realize you started the thing because it's second nature. When you begin that process after you get saved to renew your mind, Romans 12:1-2, by the renewing of your mind And what you have to do is, it has to be on purpose because you have so much junk. You've got that depraved nature that you've been satisfying all your life to the point of your salvation. You have been listening to all those external forces that have been coming upon you and teaching you and programming you, that you think like the world even though your spirit has been made alive in Jesus Christ. You've got so much baggage there, and the Lord says, I want to renew that mind. And there's that process that takes place. It's a progression that takes place in your life. And you've got to do it on purpose. It doesn't just happen. That means instead of having the radio at that rock station now, you have to maybe buy some CDs and make an investment in your Christian life. And you have to start listening to the right stuff. You have to put the right music in there. I told somebody recently, I said, you know what? When I lived in Tennessee, and I built pole barns, Gerard Pole Barns, a guy and I, we worked for a realtor in the church, and we subbed the pole barns, this guy I worked with, we would put the boat on the back of the truck because we'd go water skiing. I know that's hard to believe now, but we'd go water skiing after work, but boy, we'd pull that boat and that truck up there next to the pole barn, and he'd open those doors up, and boy, there'd be country music playing all day long. I could name the tunes, I could name the stars, and built a pole barn for Waylon Jennings and some of the models that worked selling his shirts at the concerts and all that around Franklin, Tennessee and around Nashville area. And boy, it's there. But you know, when I started getting under conviction about the right kind of music, I said, I've got to change my mind about that. And I've got to be deliberate about that. In other words, I've got to stop listening to the junk and start listening to the good stuff. And to be quite honest with you, my flesh liked the junk. I didn't like listening to the good stuff at first. But you know what? I knew it was right. And so I had to make a decision. I can't listen to that station anymore. I can't go to that restaurant anymore. Because they play the stuff that tweaks my old mind. And so I have to just make... And you say, well, that bothers you? Yeah, it bothered me. When we were building that building over there. The new first building. We were putting up the upstairs. The guy that did the heating and air conditioning wanted to take me for breakfast. And he came and picked me up, and we were driving down First Street here, and he says, where would you like to go, Pastor Sullivan, to have breakfast? I said, oh, no problem. You choose. You know, and so he names the one restaurant I don't want to go to in town. And I said, you know, if it's possible, I'd like to, could we go somewhere else? And then he asked that question, why? And so I tried to dodge it. And he came back to me again, why? And so I told him why. And he said, that bothers you? You know, I felt like, yeah, he thinks I'm really, you know, a dummy. You know, my pride was getting offended there. But then I said, no, I'd rather go somewhere else. There's just some things you have to say that, hey, I can't do. I remember I went down to Walhalla, and I was going through the grocery store, and I was picking up some Totino's pizzas. I mean, they're cheap pizzas, but boy, they're good at midnight. I tell you what, those Totino's, and I was going there, and I'm walking down one of the aisles there, and I'm the only one in this particular aisle, and it's not that big of a store. Some of you been there. And, you know, and all of a sudden I find myself, I'm humming. And I stopped. And I looked up because the radio was playing. And it was playing a song that I knew the lyrics to. It was a worldly song. I did not even realize that it had just come right there into my subconscious. And there I am. I'm singing it. And I looked this way. And I looked this way. And I went, phew. And I changed my tune in here. Folks, renewing of your mind is something that we all have to be involved in and engaged in, and it has to be purposeful, because we have to understand that stuff is always still there, and we need to put the right stuff in so that we can take those thoughts captive, even in those times where it seems like it takes over. We need to squash it. We need to take that thought, that song, whatever it is, captive to the obedience of Christ and cast it down and do the right thing. You won't always like living a life of holiness, the flesh part of you. The spiritual part of you will love it. And that's where we need to feed. And so it could be that you have to take some extreme measures to walk a holy walk with God. There may be some places you can't go. You might have to take a new way to work, because you know when you go the way you go to work, that there's temptations along the way for you to throw your eyes at something they shouldn't be thrown at, or to think thoughts you shouldn't think, and so you need to go another way. So you avoid that temptation, or avoid the very appearance of evil. Amen? I'm talking real life. I'm talking about the beauty of the holiness of God. He's holy. And He says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. Just as He's pure in character and in every facet of His life, it's descriptive of who He is. We are to be like He is. It's not a matter of comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's not a matter of this one doing that so I can do this. Or, boy, they did this and so that gives me credence to do that. Oh, no. What would He do? He's holy. He's holy. Renew your mind. You might try picking a song for the day. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. I am weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Now, I may not be a great singer, but I tell you what, there's just something that helps you throughout your day. If you'll just pick out a little ditty like that, a little song, and just sing it throughout the day. One thing that's frustrating is when you just know part of the song, not all the song, you know? And I've been thinking of one, I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't da di 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 da 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 da. And it's a great song. You know? And I just know, you know, I've been singing that for 2 days. And I still don't know the words. That's frustrating. But you know what? I'd rather be doing that than something else. And I'm no special Christian in all the world. I struggle just like the next guy. But at the same time, wow, we've got to renew our mind. And so we may have to do some extreme things so that we change our thinking. In recent days, I've been wanting to think on other things. And I'm saying, Lord, help my actions and my reactions to be right. Help my thoughts to be right. Help me to walk in the strength and power of Your might. Help me to be Holy Spirit filled, because it goes against every fiber of my being otherwise. And God helps you when you do it with deliberate focus and seeking to please Him above anyone and anything else. So you might want to sing a song. Choose a song for the day. I have several pastor friends, and one of my mentors of days gone by, it said that he would always take a hymn book every morning in his devotions. And he would take his hymn book and he'd pick a song that he would sing and hum throughout the day. Try it. Try it. It might beat some of the old junk you've been listening to and singing and can recall like that. You have to change your mind. Develop a habit. I think it was Robert Murray McShane an old preacher of the past, and I may be wrong as to who to attribute this to. A lot of times you think a saying is attributed to one guy, and then you realize he took it from somebody else that took it from somebody else. But he had this idea in mind that he said, no Bible, no breakfast. In other words, if he didn't have time to read his Bible, he didn't have time to eat breakfast. And you know, developing that kind of a program for his life helped him. Because he got hungry. And so he started making time for the Bible. You may need to do something like that. You don't have to do that. I can't show you that in the Scriptures. No Bible, no breakfast. But by the same token, hey, we want to be like God. We want to be like Him. Be ye holy, for I am holy, in all manner of conversation, in every area of our life. Every area of our life. Every area of our life. Not just Sunday mornings at 11. Not Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 to 8:30. Every moment of every day. When you think of God, when you think of the Creator God, do you realize when I started off a service of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? It's amazing to me that that word God, Elohim, that's mentioned there is mentioned some 30 times in chapter 1 alone. And they said that it's used some 2,570 times in the Old Testament. And we need to understand who our God is. He's our God. He's not the God of the Egyptians. He's not the God of the Philistines. He's not a Buddha. He's not a Muhammad. He's our God. He's ours. If you're saved, He's your God. He's the Creator God. He's Elohim. And that just gives one little glimpse, one little snapshot of who He is. And He is that plus, 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 plus. So much more. That's who our God is. Our God. One God. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. So you have the Creator God. We would know Him in another way as God the Father. Here He is. Oh, by the way, it's the Spirit of God. He moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Elohim said, the Creator God, let there be light. And you know what? There was light. I take our Bibles and I go to John chapter 1. And this talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W-O-R-D. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One and the same. So all the way in creation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That slams evolution in all of its forms. We don't need to debate anybody on that. We don't need to do any scientific study. And I don't have to be scouring the journals of science to try to find where they possibly may have found the missing link. The missing link is between some people's ears. We need to believe the Bible. By Him, everything was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, I drop down now to verse 12. But as many as received Him, who's the Him? Who's the Him? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Genesis 1:1. He wasn't flesh then, but He still was, and He still is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Notice the Trinity in creation. Our God is the Creator. You know, when you think of Elohim, it also, the Creator God, that capital G, that lowercase O, and that lowercase D, when you see that, it's talking about that God, that Creator God. It also gives the idea of the God who governs, who has creative power, and He is omnipotent. That means He is all-powerful. How do you describe a God like that? Can you make a statue of our God? Can you somehow form Him out of clay? Can you carve Him from wood or chisel Him out of marble? Oh no. You can't do that to our God. He is so big. So powerful. What a God we have. How do you describe the beauty of a rose? Or that of a sunrise or a sunset in Manitoba? How do you describe Him? You can't. He's our God. He's our God. And our God, as God mentions here in His name, just His name, God, in your Bible, when you see that name, it also means that He is a covenant-keeping God. That means He keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. He keeps His word. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "For the Lord, Jehovah, your God, Elohim, Creator God, is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." That name means mighty, strength, or the strong one. It also means that one that keeps covenant. For when Solomon was dedicating that house of God to our God, he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their heart." Our God has the ability to make covenants with us and to keep them. I close with Colossians chapter 1. I feel so inadequate to preach a message on God. How many times I thought, "Lord, I don't think is so much as the case where I think maybe I ought to handle maybe three of the names of God." But as I started studying about God, I thought, I don't have time to talk about Jehovah, Lord. I don't have time to talk about our Paraclete, our Comforter. I don't have time to talk about... Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if you're here this morning and that Bible you have in your lap doesn't have that verse, you need to get yourself a real Bible. Get yourself a King James Bible. Verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" That's why Jesus said in His earthly ministry, "Hey, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." That's why we study the life of Christ. Because when we see Christ, we see the Father. Amen? "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him," Jesus, "should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." What a great God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him?